Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, welcome back to church after 3 months. Has anything happened since we've been gone? Oh my goodness, so much has happened. I can't even keep track of what's happened. But let me say this. You, the congregation of this church, have lived up to your name. What I mean by that is the name of our church is All Things Good. And we changed the name of our church several years ago to reflect the fact that God is good. And anything that is good that happens in our lives and in our world is because of God's involvement. God is the source of everything that's good. Without Him, there would be no good. His very nature, His very essence is goodness. We wanted a name for our church to reflect what we believe about God. You know, for many, many years, we were just the Springfield First Church of the Nazarene. And that identified who we were as a denominational church. But I think a name really ought to reflect who we are and what we believe. And that's why for about 2.5 years, we went through the process of praying and deliberating. What should the name of our congregation be? And so we voted and the district approved on the name All Things Good. A name should reflect the character and identity of a person or a group. It reminds me of one of my favorite jokes. There's a dad and his son driving in a car, and the son looks over at his dad and he says, "Dad, why is my sister's name Rose?" And the dad said, "Well, that's because your mother loves roses." And the son said, "Oh, okay, thanks for the explanation, Dad." And the dad says, "No problem, Costco hot dog." I love that corny joke. A name should reflect who we are. And I have to tell you, during these 3 crazy months that we've all been in, this whole country and this whole world has been in, and all that we see happening, I have to tell you, you have lived up to the name of our church. And I'm not just saying that. You have been so absolutely wonderful as a church, as a congregation, as a witness to this neighborhood. I am so proud of you guys for how you have been so adaptable and so sensitive and so loving and encouraging during this crazy time that we've been in. Yes, our lives have been uprooted and things are different and we're living in this new normal, and then the protesting and then the unfortunate rioting, and everything has been upended. And yet I think of you. I have watched you and listened to you. And I have to say, I am so proud of you. And God gave me this passage to share with you today from 2 Thessalonians that I want to read to you. Turn in your New Testaments to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Now, the Apostle Paul dealt with many churches in the first century. And some of those churches gave him a lot of trouble, and other churches he was really fond of. I don't know if Paul was bald or not, but after dealing with the Corinthians, he probably tore his hair out because he had a hard time dealing with. I mean, there was a lot of problems and issues in the Corinthian church. And if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's just dealing with issue after issue after issue. But other churches that he dealt with were such a source of blessing and encouragement to him because they got it. They got the gospel. They understood how they were to live when their world was upended and overturned. The Philippian church, for example, was one of those churches. He had a love and admiration for the church in Philippi. And you read the book of Philippians, and it's just a wonderful letter of him extolling the church there, saying, "Keep pressing on. God is good." The Thessalonian church was another one of the churches that were a source of blessing and encouragement to the Apostle Paul. And I want to share these verses with you, because as God was giving me this message to share with you today, I kind of wrestled with him a little bit, and I said, God, is it okay for me to boast and be proud of this congregation? And then I read this, and I say to myself, yeah, it's okay to boast and be proud of you, because I believe God is pleased with how you have and continue to conduct yourself during this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. The Apostle Paul says this to that wonderful congregation there. We ought always to thank God for you. And let me tell you, when I think of you, I thank God for you. I do. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. And I thank God for you. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And I can say that of this church as well. When you come for prayer on Wednesday nights, as you were in your homes reading, studying Scripture, your faith is growing more and more. None of us have arrived. No. We are growing in the Lord. I've met Christians who say, well, I know everything I need to know. And I feel sad for them, because they've peaked. They've hit a ceiling and they refuse to grow. But Paul says here, no, your faith and how you're putting your faith into action is growing more and more. And I can say that of you. Your faith is growing. You are allowing God to grow you and shape you. Then the Apostle Paul continues and he says, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. And I can say, yes, this is true of this congregation. The way you exhibit love for God and love for each other is growing and increasing. And that touches my heart as a pastor, to see us learning to love each other and encourage each other. That hasn't always been the case in this church. And there are other churches that maybe even you've been a part of where there's been so much fighting and bickering and infighting. That's not the case here. And I mean that with all sincerity. Your love for each other continues to grow and increase. And that blesses my heart as a pastor, but how much more does it bless the heart of God to see his people who've been called out of the ugliness of this world to live in love and unity with each other? So I can say, you are exhibiting here what the Apostle Paul is so proud to share with the church there in Thessalonica. Verse 4, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. He's highlighting this church. He's saying, church, I'm boasting about you. And this morning, I just want to take some time to boast about you as well. Because of all the trials and upheaval that we've endured, you're still faithful to Jesus Christ and his calling. Verse 5, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Church, these verses are for you today. I just want to say thank you for being an extraordinary church. Thank you for exhibiting the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get it. We're still growing. We're still learning. We're not perfect. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you get it. You get it. Thank you. You bring such joy to my heart. You bring joy to each other. Our faith is growing. Our love is growing. Our perseverance is growing. And God is counting you worthy to be part of the kingdom of God. So when this whole thing started several months ago, nobody really knew what was going on. Some of us still don't know what to think. And we're watching the news, we're reading updates. Some of us are wearing masks, some of us aren't. Some of us are wearing gloves, others of us aren't. We're just trying to figure out this new normal that we're living in. The last sermon I preached in this building 3 months ago before today, I said something to the effect that we do now live in a truly globalized world. What happens 6,000 miles away in Wuhan, China, is affecting us here today. And so that's just an effect of globalization. We live in a globalized world, and there's a ripple effect, and we're still trying to navigate this new normal that we're living in. But let me say this, and let me just tell you again one of the reasons why you are such an extraordinary congregation, and I mean this with every fiber of my being. Even with all the unknowns and the different messages that we're receiving, I've not heard one negative comment from anybody in our church. You have been so adaptable. You have been so wonderful and understanding and gracious. And I just have to boast on you. You have been great. Now, some of you may remember a little over 20 years ago, in the year 1999, there were those who were really freaked out about the whole Y2K scenario. Remember that? 1999. Now, back then, I was in my first church in Colorado, and I had a guy in my church. He was a wonderful guy, don't get me wrong. A wonderful man, older man. He was a scientist, a great guy, great encourager, but he was really freaked out about the whole Y2K thing. I mean, he was getting the church worked up. He was trying to get me worked up. He's saying, boy, as soon as the clock turns from 1999 to 2000, all of our computers are going to shut down. Airplanes are going to fall from the sky. Things are going to blow up. It's going to be, you know, the apocalypse. And he genuinely was worried, and he wanted to stockpile this and stockpile that, and he was going overboard. And I had to try to pastor him and that church through all that, and it wasn't easy. You have been wonderful in all this. No one here has gone overboard. Yes, we're cautious, and I think we need to be. Yes, we need to listen to medical professionals and scientists, absolutely. But I've not heard one person say, oh, the sky is falling. You know, the end is near. The end may be near. We don't know. I do know we're closer to the end than we ever have been before. But we don't live in fear, right? We don't live with an apocalyptic paralyzation that we're so scared to even leave the front door of our house. No, we live with hope in Jesus Christ. And you have been wonderful. And I haven't had to talk any of you down from the ceiling. And I thank God for you. And we're going to still do this together. We don't know what's going to happen next month or 6 months from now. But we're going to trust God to guide us through. And we're going to faithfully and humbly live out the gospel regardless of what happens to us. When all this started and we weren't able to meet for church, what a lot of churches did is the pastor would sit in the sanctuary and they'd have some cameras and the pastor would preach to an empty building and then post the sermons online. And I get that. I get what they were doing. And I thought to myself, God, what would you have us do? And when all this happened, we had just begun the season of Lent, and Easter was a few weeks away. And God said, look at a calendar, and I looked at a calendar, and I counted the days till Easter, and then I looked at the Gospel of John, and I saw that if I read a chapter of the Gospel of John a day, it would take us literally right up through Easter. And of course, we know John ends with the great Easter resurrection story. And so that's what I did. And so I read a chapter of the Gospel of John every day, posted it online, and I encouraged you to either listen or read for yourself, and many of you did. And you got it. You got what I was trying to do. What I felt, and I still strongly feel, is that we need to be in God's Word every day. And you got it. And you read with me through the Gospel of John. Then we celebrated Easter. And then I got to thinking, okay, God, what do we do next? And he had me go to Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And it's naturally broken up into 22 sections, one section for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so for 3 weeks, we took our time reading meditatively through Psalm chapter 119. And that was a beautiful time. And many of you followed right along with me because you got it. You understood what I was trying to do. We needed to be in God's Word every day. We went back into the New Testament and we read through the entire book of Colossians, one of the Apostle Paul's other letters. And we broke that up into sections, and that took us about 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks, and we read through the entire book of Colossians. And then just last week, we went back into the Old Testament, and we read through the book of Jonah, one chapter every other day. And I did that because I felt like what we need is to be in God's Word every day. And you get it. You got it. And a couple of you have even asked, can we continue doing that? And the answer is yes. Continue. Stay in God's Word every day. That's what nourishes us. That's what keeps us grounded. If you watch CNN or Fox News or ABC News every day, you will go crazy, right? You will go bonkers. What we need is to be in God's Word every day. Karl Barth, the great theologian, said this. He said, a balanced Christian, a growing Christian, every day should read the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand. And I agree with him. We need to grow in God's Word, but we need to be intelligently informed with what's happening in the world today. But here's the problem that a lot of people fall into. They lean on one end or the other. So maybe they spend all their time in the Bible, and I had a guy like that in my last church, no kidding. He was a stockbroker. And every day, and I'm not making this up, you can ask Renee, he'd come home from work, he'd go up to his room, ignored his family basically, and just studied the Bible until midnight, and then he'd go to bed. How can you fault him for that? Well, he neglected his family, and he really didn't have a balanced view of what was going on in the world. Other people go the other spectrum. They ignore the Bible, and they spend all their time in the newspaper, and in politics, and in the news of the day. Well, that's going to drive you crazy as well. And so Karl Barth was right. We need a balance in our lives. Every day, first, spend time in God's Word, and then balance that out with a newspaper so that we are informed with what's happening in the world. And that's a good approach for us to have. But don't get the two confused. Start with God's Word, then go to the newspaper, and balance out the two. And so we need to be in God's Word. It is God's Word that nourishes us, informs us, shapes us, and gives us hope and guidance for how to live. You get it. You get what I was trying to do. You get it. And for that, I thank you. The other thing you get that I'm really proud of, and I can't thank you enough for this, your presence on social media has been absolutely wonderful. Social media has changed the way we communicate. It's changed the way we interact with each other. It's changed the way we give and receive information. And if you spend any time on social media, you know there's a lot of garbage on there. That's just the way it is. But I do look at your posts, and I read what you say, and I have to say, as a whole, thank you. You represent yourself and your family with dignity. You represent our church with honor. I have not seen any, and I mean this with all sincerity, I have not seen anything. Well, there's been a few questionable things, I will admit that. But for the most part, you utilize social media in a God-honoring way. And I want to thank you for that. We all have opinions about what's happening in the world today. I get that, and we should. And we should be able to dialogue and discourse. That's something that we've lost as a society. You may have a different view of what's happening in the world than I do. You may be a Democrat. I may be a Republican. Other way around, doesn't matter. We should be able to discuss what's happening in a civilized way. The problem is the world has forgotten how to do that. It just has. And the world demonizes anybody who has an opposing view. But I have to say, as I view your social media, you bless me. You are an extraordinary congregation. Some of you post Bible verses every single day, and I read them, and it touches my heart. Others of you post inspirational pictures or quotes or things like that. That's fine. Others of you do post about what's happening in the world today, but you do it in a logical, coherent, non-defensive way, and it makes you think, and I thank you for that. I have had pastor friends who have said they are so disgusted by what they're seeing online that they're just getting offline because of what some people in their congregation are posting. That breaks my heart. Some of you have rightly said, hey, I can't deal with all the negativity. I'm getting off social media for a while. I get that. Thank you for representing God, your faith, your family, your church in an honorable way. Thank you. You bless me. You are truly an extraordinary congregation. And I wanted to take today to boast on you and to say thank you. You get it. You embody the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in an optimistic, hope-filled way. And I just have to say thank you. Keep it up. Keep it up. We don't know what's going to happen in our culture weeks, days, months from now. My sense is with the elections coming up, it's probably going to get uglier. There's a whole movement now for equality, racial equality, and I get that. I get there's a need for that. I get people are angry, frustrated. We get that. But the world doesn't have a divine coping mechanism to deal with all the stuff that it's being thrown at. They don't. It's kind of like a child. If you put too much on a child, that child is just going to explode, right? And so as parents, you have to temper how much you give a child because they can only deal with a certain amount of things. The world doesn't have Jesus Christ. And so when things like this happen in the world, they don't have the coping mechanism to be able to deal with the issues of our day in a God-honoring way. So what do? They fly off the handle. The church must be that calming, peaceful, logical, coherent presence that helps the world become less chaotic. You understand what I'm saying? We must be that calming presence, that logical, rational, holy presence that the world desperately needs but doesn't have because the world doesn't have the Spirit of God. I wish the world could see how you have responded these last couple of months because you have so beautifully, not perfectly, but beautifully modeled what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, even when our world is turned upside down. And for that, church, I just wanted to say thank you. You bless me. Keep it up. This church hasn't always been like that. There was a time in this church when there was a lot of infighting and bickering, and the pastor could do no right, and the worship leader could do no right. We are long past those days, church. And your maturity, your love for God, your faith in God, and your love for each other has blessed me. And I just had to tell you that today. Amen? Would you stand with me, and I want to pray a prayer blessing on you as we go out to continue to demonstrate the love of God in our chaotic world. Father, I thank you for these people in church, and I know there are others who just couldn't make it to church today. They get it. These people get it. They are embodying all the good things of God. And I thank you for them. We're not a perfect church. I don't want to give that impression because we are far from perfect. And the most imperfect person in this church is me. We're not perfect. But I think we're getting it. I thank you for how this church has responded wonderfully and beautifully these last couple of months. And Lord, as we watch our culture descend into chaos because the world doesn't have Christ, use us to be your instruments of peace in a broken, fractured, frazzled world. Use us to be your ministers of reconciliation. Help us to reconcile a world that is so far away from you back to you. Whether it be in person, or online, or with a phone call, or a letter, whatever means at our disposal, help us to be ministers of your peace and your reconciliation in a broken and fractured world. We do pray for healing and peace for our nation. This nation desperately needs it. And I'm afraid that this country is where it's at today is because we have turned our back on you. And yet, there are still remnants of good and faithful, godly people. And I happen to be the pastor of a group of them here that will not be dismayed by what's happening around them, but instead, with love and courage and peace, live out the gospel faithfully and beautifully that so models to their neighbors and to our community. This is how you live as a follower of Jesus Christ, even when the world around us is burning. I thank you for this church and the people in this church. Continue, Lord, to be the head of our church and use us to shine as your agents of light in a dark world.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. Because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.